Welcome to Changelog, the weekly podcast where we discuss what's new in the tech world and what that means to real people. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Let's get down to it. Craig, what are you drinking on tonight?
I'm just kind of going boring. I had to go with the Heineken Light because...
You're still fat?
I'm still really fat.
James?
I am drinking a Macallan 15.
Oh, fantastical.
Yes.
Somebody special must have got you that. I'm sipping on a Maker's Mark tonight.
Wow.
So
very nice.
That's where I'm at, and it's just delicious.
Put one of those curly Q straws in the bottle and just run it over by your mic.
Exactly. I need a hat with like a thing for two bottles that curl down, maybe go through like a chiller on the way.
That'd be nice.
That'd be great. I'm going to make that TM patent pending.
What was that?
I don't know. What was what?
I just made a nice little Skype sound. I went, doom, doom.
So when you and I were on the call, Craig, and Brian called us both and we switched over, it automatically placed our call, yours and mine, on hold.
Aha.
So I just closed that one out.
That's what that was. I was curious to make sure my call recorder wasn't stopping there.
Right on. I'm still jealous of those glasses that you have there, Jim.
Yeah.
It's so hefty, the leaded glass. I have this sad... Just like, I need to get some of those. They're on my list of things.
It is very hefty.
You know, Brian, you could just tape a dumbbell to your glass.
Yeah, but that's not the same. It's not the same thing at all.
No, it'd be funny with your pink wall back there and everything.
Yeah.
Get one of those little purple dumbbells, you know, Jenny works out with or something.
Uh-huh. Laugh it up. It's happy yuck time over here. All right. So let's look at what's going on this week. The thing that caught my interest actually today was a story about Microsoft's new HoloLens.
Yeah.
Have you guys looked at this at all?
You know what? I actually watched a big chunk of the live blog of the Microsoft presentation yesterday.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It looks pretty crazy because, I mean, it's the similar to the idea of the Google Glass.
Sure.
Except for the fact that it's apparently going to have an entire computer built into it when they're done with it.
Yes.
So it's just going to be like a wearable headset computer. And
yes.
It's not too shabby. I'm wondering what kind of battery life you're going to get on that, or if you're going to be tethered.
So I know two people that were at that conference.
Okay.
And they got to test it out.
Okay.
And essentially it's like augmented reality.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
And it fully encloses over the eyes. So it's clear at first, kind of like not so dark sunglasses.
Sure.
So you can see through it. You and I are having a conversation. You turn it on, and it immediately opaques out the entire view. So it goes black, and then it comes on with whatever you want to display. So in the article you probably read, they were showing what, like the bit with NASA and Jet Labs?
Yeah, and they have like kind of a rendering of a guy in a room where he just sees a couple giant screens that, you know, he's pretending to interact with.
Good old Tony Stark.
Exactly.
How BA would that be? I'm just saying.
It'd be pretty dope. I'm not going to lie.
I need in my house.
Dude, I would totally rock these for work. I'm just saying. I'll tell my work, hey, this is what I need in order to program for you. And
but see, what stinks is until they come up with the contact lenses, we all look like we're getting ready to go skiing. That's all.
That's true. Yeah, okay, did you see the 3D rendering of it?
Oh, yes.
It looks cool. That's the thing, is that the Google Glass never looked cool.
You know,
this thing looks pretty BA.
It does. It's okay. So it was tethered for the demonstration. It does have a battery life, but during the presentation, to avoid any surprises,
yeah,
it was tethered just to make sure that everything went off without a hitch. But it does have a battery life. They would not disclose the battery life. So that said, when I first saw this, I thought, man, this is just for gaming. And then a little later, I was reading a lot of the reports of the people that were at this conference that were talking about what they saw. Man, so many different applications for this. Like training, for example, on-the-job training. In like a chemistry lab, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
This, it really, really looks cool.
It does look pretty sweet. And the guy that is developing this is Alex Kipman, who's the guy behind the Kinect.
Yeah.
And, I mean, apparently he's using a lot of the same ideas behind the Kinect of using kind of, you know, innocuous parts. Stuff that they can get for pretty cheap and actually make a really cool product. And I wouldn't be surprised if, because it said that they're, it would be able to somehow interact with the environment also. So I wouldn't be surprised if it has something like the Kinect where it throws out and maps the room and then you could somehow interact with that. I think that would be, I mean, that would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
I like the idea of it. I give them a thumbs up.
Yeah, I definitely think it's got a lot more uses than Google Glass, and I don't know. It's it looks like it'd be a heck of a lot more fun. It looks like you'd actually use it for more. You could use it for gaming, potentially. You could right. use it for 3D rendering. You could use it for, you know, just, I don't know. You know, I think it'd be really cool where, you know, doing presentations too. You know, it's not virtual reality, but at least it's that, or could you even call it augmented reality at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's more than VR. I mean, VR is like it's an enclosed environment, but they're talking about making it where it'll interact and overlay with the outside world also.
Well, that and the fact that it's like those darkening glasses,
mm-hmm.
where it'll actually change, where if you need a darker background to view certain things,
yeah,
the fact that it'll actually do that. And I just... Talk about being versatile. I mean, it's just...
It's a cool idea. I'm for it.
It is very yeah. cool.
Now, if they can get these things coming in under, you know, like $800, I think that would be pretty spectacular. If they could get these out the door like $400 or $500, I think everybody would get them.
You mean they're cool not going to charge $1,500 like Google?
Yeah, exactly my point.
Well, to keep the cost down, they're just going to put XP on them.
Yeah. That's why they ran off XP. That's a new one. But no, I mean, the article I was reading, Kipman was saying that, you know, the idea of why the Kinect was so cheap to make is that they used a lot of readily available parts and just kind of tasked them appropriately. Did you freeze, Jim, or are you just making a face?
Okay.
Somebody hit him in the back and his face stuck that way.
Not to interrupt you guys, but... Scott Meyer, the author of Off to Be the Wizard.
Yes.
His third book in the series, An Unwelcome Quest. The Audible audio version, unabridged, becomes available February 10.
Oh, I know. It's on my list. Okay. I've been waiting for it.
Shut it. Whatever.
Jamie sends me a message like every other week. He's like, hey, this is coming out. I'm like, I know. You've told me already. We've been waiting for it.
Well, when you're using AOL, right?
Exactly. He's on Earthlink.
Sorry, Jamie. I like you,
Dan. That's great.
Earthlink. Although, I just found out Mike Shepard's still running Net Zero.
I know.
What?
How hilarious is that?
Prodigy.
But he actually has the Net Zero DSL, but still.
Yeah, but I didn't even know they existed in any way.
Exactly.
In fact, there was a thing on Facebook like, top 50 things that you will never forget from your childhood. And one of them was the AOL loading screen.
Mm-hmm. Good triangles stuff. And a little running man.
Yep.
Very cool. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. All the things that I didn't like about Google Glass, I feel are good on this. It looks kind of...
What was Google Glass really good for? I mean, we talked about it last week, and I liked it. It just, for $1,500, I mean, my watch even... You know, $300 at the time I bought my Gear 2. It's really nice, but $300 just to get additional notifications. $1,500 right. to see a few additional overlays so you can walk and still do it. But, you know, as funny as it is, I never got to try Google Glass, but even as funny as it is in the car, everybody says, oh, you know, don't look at your cell phone, take your eyes off the road. you know, if my watch goes off, I can't even look at it unless I'm stopped, because that little screen, you have to take all of your attention off of everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And look at it. It's like, that's just an accident waiting to happen. Whereas this just takes it completely out, where you're not supposed to walk down the street with it. You're supposed to use it more. It looks like it's more of a professional setting where you use it for more in depth of just, hey, I need to check my email for 5 seconds.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, where's the Apple one? That's what I want to know.
Oh, they're waiting to copy everything that they do wrong. You know, Apple does it best because they let everybody else fail first.
Right.
It's not wrong.
3 years from now, they'll come out.
It's not wrong, but it's the way they point the fingers and, you know, do everything later on. Oh, we're going to sue you for copying. It's like, wait a minute. You copied first.
Oh, they'll come out in like 3 years and they'll be built into Ray-Bans, you know, and they'll run off your phone.
Yep.
Cool. All right. I think that's all I have to say about it. I'm excited to see what comes of that. I'll be following that one for sure.
Did you follow any of the other stuff that they unveiled at that conference?
I did not.
So, did you hear that? Well, I guess you didn't. So apparently, Windows 10, which ought to be out in the fall, is going to be a free upgrade to anybody running Windows 8.1 and Windows 7.
Wow.
So if you have Windows 7, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, for up to 1 year, you can upgrade free of charge. Once you've upgraded, of course, you know, you're officially on that platform and moving forward. You know, it's not like a subscription service.
Sure. I mean, that's pretty smart to get buy-in.
Yeah. I don't know that it's enough for enterprise to want to move forward with it. But, And they officially unveiled Spartan, the new web browser.
Right.
It's very Chrome-like. It's very light. They're not abandoning Internet Explorer. They're just not updating it so much.
I wish they
keeping
would.
It around for the legacy enterprise apps and whatnot.
I'm still getting hosed at work because there's some stuff that's having problems on IE9.
That's because IE9 is garbage.
Exactly.
Hey, I've still got to run IE8 at work.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. And they're on version 11. Yeah. I mean, that's what you know.
Yeah, and you know, 11, while I don't endorse Internet Explorer at all, 11 isn't hideous.
No, it's not. It's fully functional. It's fast.
Yep.
It's advanced CSS is not too bad. HTML5 is pretty decent, actually.
Yeah, they think there's still one or two things that they're not fully supporting, but for the most part, it's all right.
JavaScript is a little lacking, in my opinion, but...
Yeah, I ended up putting HTML shiv into my web app at work to try and get some of the IE9 stuff up to date, but it's still...
I think everybody should just use Google Chrome. Move on.
Well, that's what I told the lady the first time she brought me this problem, because it's an internal application. She's like, this isn't working. I said, what are you using? IE9? I said, okay, install Chrome and tell me if it works. I'll tell you right now, it works.
I love it.
Because when I developed it, I was using Chrome.
You should only have to go back, you know, so far.
Yeah.
And what do you go back, like Chrome 36 and newer?
I don't even pay attention if it works
don't go
for
backwards.
Me currently.
You just
updates. I don't know. It automatically updates. I just let it happen.
I see. Okay. All right.
I sit back, let it happen.
I see how your web developing is.
Yeah. If it works on my computer, I don't really care about your computer. Until my boss tells me I care, and then I care about your computer.
Okay.
The worst part is finding a box that I can use at work that has IE9 that I can test on, because there's only a few of them that haven't been updated.
Dude, it's called a VM, man.
That's what I did, and all the stuff was working for me, but apparently it's still not working for them. So,
oh, this lady's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, next.
All right, so what I want to talk about is... So The Verge released a story basically saying that Google is gearing up to become a wireless carrier. Son of a gun. I accidentally removed a link. So anyhow, Google is going to be an MVNO on Sprint and T-Mobile, which is awesome if they do in the least bit what they did for internet, broadband service, with their fiber offering. I'm all about it. What do you think, gentlemen?
I put your link back.
Yeah, thanks.
I am mildly excited, except for the fact that we live in the Chicago area and they don't seem to roll anything out here. So it'll be interesting to see how long it takes before it's available here.
Instantly. You watch. Because it's an MVNO, they're just rebranding, a reselling service.
Yeah.
And if it's going to piggyback across Sprint and T-Mobile, there's a pretty decent saturation in the Chicagoland area.
Although both Sprint and T-Mobile get terrible service in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I'm there's terrible service in my office, too. But I'm
hoping... It'll be interesting to see what kind of pricing that they put on it, because it's Google, so...
Well, that's kind of my thought, is that they're going to... I mean, look at their internet service. For a gigabit, it's $70 a month. So... I mean, that is what, $500 for Comcast, their equivalent?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm expecting wireless prices to really drop because of this. I'm hoping. What do you think, Craig?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, Google, if it's anybody who's going to do it right, it's going to be them.
They got the money. But
like Brian's, it's getting it out to the other areas and trying to get it where it makes a big difference. You know, you'd want to hit the big metropolitan areas, and it just seems like Chicago gets left out of a lot of them. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just difficult to pipe it here. But at the end of the day, I just worry about them not getting a significant market on it, where, you know, you're going to get those loyalists to UVerse and Comcast and everything, where it does everything they need it to do, you know. UVerse, you know, obviously for, you know, more just the home solution. Nobody in their right mind would ever use that for any kind of work-related. Even if you're running a kiosk at the mall, you wouldn't use UVerse. So.
Did you hear about how the Congress is trying to reclassify the definition of broadband to anything 25 megabit down and 3 megabit up?
No.
Which officially means that AT&T UVerse will not classify as broadband.
Yeah, what are they still at, a max of 6 gig?
18.
Oh, they'll do 18 now?
They'll do 18, and they guarantee that it's a solid 18. But like you know, Brian, I went through my issues with UVerse.
Oh, yeah.
I can tether to my 8. Well, Jim, I was trying to download a 700 meg file, and it told me it was going to take 24 hours.
Wow.
And that was with the 18 meg package. And they tried to tell me my area wasn't coded for it, and I had to get an even higher package. But when tethering to my AT&T smartphone... It took 3 minutes to download that 700 meg file. You know, so I have nothing but problems. Whereas Comcast, now that I own my own equipment, can't complain.
Yeah, so, I can't complain. I hate Comcast.
I do too, but I love their internet.
Oh, yeah. No, it's their big, fat, black pipe is just nice.
Whoa, jeez.
I still love that Funny or Die video. The one about... It was about Comcast. Remember that? It was like the message from the Comcast exec. Oh, and
he's like, F-U.
Right?
I'm going to find that and put that in the additional show notes.
Because he's like, because we don't give a fuck about you. Did you see that one, Craig?
Oh,
I thought I sent
it
to you. Oh, you'll need to watch it. You'll laugh.
Okay, I'm dropping a copy of it into the show notes under additional show notes. Whoops. That's not what I want to. Okay, I want to go there.
So does anybody else think that Google might be the ones that bring about Skynet?
Oh, you know what?
It's either going to be that or SkypeNet. I don't know.
F it. I welcome my Google overlord.
Right?
Just give me fast internet.
Treat me fairly. Plug me into the web.
Yeah, I'll be your battery.
Seriously, they'll put me in the Matrix. What the... Who doesn't want to be in there? Why are they in such a hurry to get out?
I don't know. It's being a bat. Seriously, they had good. Hey, just saying. They got a good Matrix. Ignorance was bliss.
At the point that you can control, you know, the world, why would you not want to be there? Makes no sense to me. So, big fun. All right. You have anything else to say about that?
I don't think so. All right. So, Craig, you wanted to talk about some magic.
Yes.
Magical TVs or something.
Yes. Just because when the big CES event was going on, I tried to steer clear of all the TV hoopla just because it seems like every year that's what everybody focuses on instead of all the little fun things coming out. And as OLED just becomes more and more popular, you know, obviously with smartphone displays and you've got it, it just something, it's a technology coming out that's a little bit better. I'm a huge fan of plasma TVs. I love plasma. The newer ones, you know, obviously not as bad of burn-in, things like that. And as my TV gets a little older, I want to know what the replacement is. 4K, you know, I could take it or leave it right now until they actually stream things in 4K that's not going to eat up my bandwidth on my internet. So OLED TVs have been kind of my new obsession to research on. So I just wanted to run it by you guys, too, to see if you guys have been keeping up much on it. You know, I posted a thing for you to put in the show notes just to kind of give the pros and cons and the winners and losers based off of LED versus LCD versus plasma versus OLED. And with a few exceptions, it's pretty funny how on par that the that plasma is the runner-up to all the OLED TVs out there.
Yeah. You know,
it's, like I said, I love the color. I love everything with my plasma. I can't stand the fact that I have 12 windows in my living room, and when it's bright out, I have to squint to see the screen sometimes. You know, that reflection just isn't the best.
OLED will solve that.
Exactly. Now, like we were talking earlier when Brian got kicked off our little Skype for a little bit, I don't buy into the whole curved display and everything like that. That's just more gimmicky than anything right now to me. But you can't help but when you look at it, the power consumption, you know, just how OLED works compared to everything else, where you know they can produce the different, you know, deep color blacks and everything by actually shutting those cells off. Where you know, plasma, they can't fully shut it off. You know, and even though they're individual pixels, as opposed to, you know, you've got your LCD where you've got one giant backlight, and even LED, you can only shut off certain quadrants,
right,
to try to produce that. So I mean, obviously LED, you know, for superior to LCD, but it's just amazing what they're doing with these OLED TVs. And I mean, it just, I'm waiting for Apple to come out with like a, you know, their competitor Retina TV someday, you know. But you know what I mean? Because in the smartphone world, you've got the OLED displays, which are phenomenal, that compete right up there with the Retina displays. You know, it just seems like a technology between laptops, tablets, TVs, everything can be easily adapted to have a very seamless transition between them. But enough of my, you know, kind of wandering around in circles on it. I just wanted to see what you guys even thought about it.
I'm all for it. I got to tell you, a couple things about TVs. I am so over the 3D TV. I think it's garbage until it's something that you can just turn on and you can view it without 3D glasses for everybody from all angles. It's get rid of it. It's not even worth it. And I think even Vizio said that none of their 2015 models were going to have 3D TV as an option. So good riddance. And OLED, so the backlit money, super bright, super crisp, looks fantastic, great whites, great colors, great blacks. Now I just need the price to come down.
Exactly, and that's why I don't get too excited about the new TVs. They always get displayed at CES every expensive year and everything, because exactly, until it's, you know, something I want to spend money on. I mean, obviously, you know, having an OLED TV versus a 4K one, you're going to get more use out of it. You're still going to get a crisp picture in the meantime, you know, but still spending $3,000 on something over 55 inches of a TV.
Well, what do you think is the timeline on 4K being prevalent?
I honestly don't think it's going to be prevalent for another 2 years.
That's what I was thinking. Probably within the next 2 years, I think they're going to start broadcasting more things in the Ultra HD. And at that point, is when all the TVs are going to catch up, that everybody's going to be getting them.
So what resolution – you guys watch TV, right?
Yep.
What resolution is, say, the Big Bang Theory broadcast in?
1080.
Nope. 720.
Really?
Current show.
Are you sure?
100%. All right. So say geek comedy is not your thing. Let's talk NCIS. What is NCIS broadcast in?
Color.
Yes. The thing is, if you have the if you have the HD packages, I'm pretty sure they broadcast in 1080.
720.
Are you sure?
100%.
720 even count as HD?
Technically, yes.
I think that's a sad story.
It is a sad story. So here's what I'm getting at. Most, there are some, but most HD is actually still broadcast on Comcast, at least, at 720p. Which is sad. I mean, it might be filmed in 1080, but it is being broadcast on Comcast at 720. So, man, they're still not pushing out 1080 on everything. So I have to wonder if 2 years is enough time. I'm kind of the opinion it's better to get a nice, badass TV that's 1080 OLED today and worry about 4K later.
Yeah.
I agree.
Plus, so, I mean, really, realistically, right now, the only things that you're going to be watching that would show up correctly in the 4K would be what?
Netflix.
Blu-rays and some Netflix stuff.
Hey, wait a minute. No. You can't just assume that Blu-rays will. Blu-rays, they're by default, they're 1080.
I don't know if that's true.
Most Blu-ray players are 1080p.
Right, but yeah, the Blu-ray format, I think, would support whatever they encode onto it.
You're right, but most Blu-ray players, for example, your Sony PlayStation 3,
yeah,
that will produce a 1080p signal. I mean, you could have a Blu-ray that, you know, is encoded for, you know, 8K.
Yeah, okay. Sony sells a 4K Blu-ray player for $148.
So there you go.
And late 2015 apparently is when that's an upscaling player. So it's okay. Actually upscaling for your 4K TV. 4K Blu-ray is officially on the way.
So yeah, that was kind of my assumption was that most content that is 4K would have to be streaming.
Yeah. So apparently by the end of 2015 they're finalizing it first half of 2015, and it should be prevalent by the end of 2015, 4K Blu-ray.
So you can get some Netflix now. Yep. I think you can get maybe it's Hulu is the other one. There's one other one that I know of that and maybe it's Hulu Plus that is it offers some 4K content.
Yeah.
But, of course, both services are charging more.
Yeah. So the OLED TVs, I think, though, are a pretty interesting new option. I mean, I've always enjoyed the look of the OLED phone displays.
I'm not with you on that. Like, no, you didn't like an IPS glass.
For your phone display?
For my phone, yeah.
Well, the OLEDs that I had were really nice. I liked them.
What did I have? A Nexus 1 that was OLED, and it was garbage outside. But an iPhone 3GS looked amazing with the IPS glass.
It looked good inside and outside, but actual image, just quality, I really like the OLEDs. And talking about a TV, we're not worried about taking it outside per se.
Did you guys see that one picture? It was a kid. He's outside, kind of in his boxer shorts on a desk. He's got a computer. He's playing a video game in his driveway. And the caption says, "Mom said go outside to play."
No, I didn't see that.
I will find that and I will put it in the show notes.
That's going to be our picture for this one.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah, I get excited when I actually see a replacement to plasma that looks just as good or comparable to plasma and piggybacks off the shortcomings of plasma.
All right.
Ask Brian. I always like to rant and rave about my nice 600 hertz, you know, and no motion blur and nice pristine picture. And
yeah, check out and the show notes. I am against all of that. Because
Brian likes a black and white tube TV.
No, I'm sorry, but
he does not like cameras, a tube TV.
Cameras are built with the express purpose of motion blur. It's what makes the cinematic look and feel. When you take that away, it looks weird. There's a reason that they've been shooting movies at 24 frames per second forever, because it looks awesome. The motion blur looks good. Did any of you see any of the high frame rate Hobbit movie?
Hell yeah.
It was horrible.
What?
It looked like...
You did not go where Jim thought you were going to go.
I didn't know. It looked awesome.
Versions. I saw the high frame rate and I saw the regular. The high frame rate seriously looked like I was watching Doctor Who. Like, it looked like something shot for the BBC. Wait a minute.
Which
doctor? Kind of fake soap opera looking. Effect.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because everything was just a little bit too clear.
Wait a minute. Have you been to Paul and Christie's and seen their TV?
Not recently.
Yeah, but remember when Christie bought Paul that TV?
Yeah.
And it has that crazy motion, like it's almost like the depth perception is off on it.
Yeah.
His TV does that too. I hated that.
And you can turn that down. You can like add motion blur back in on all those TVs, which at that point I'm fine with. But it's going to take a long time for me to come around to not having motion blur, because it's part of cinema. And to take that away, it just makes things look fake.
You know what we should do is have them be viewed on Skype, or recorded on Skype, because everything looked kind of like garbage like.
Right. But Brian, no, I mean,
you know, most of those movies are fake. Lord of the Rings didn't really happen.
I know. But you want it to look like it
what?
Happened. Listen, you asshole. Didn't? You want it to look like it happened. Like, I saw part of Fast and the Furious in like the high frame rate Blu-ray 120. I think it was 100. No, it was the 240 hertz. And it seriously looked like Need for Speed, like the video game. It didn't look like a movie at all. You could tell that they rendered all the cars. When I saw it in the theater, the cars look realistic. So, makes me angry.
Well, it's funny when you bring that up, because when LED backlit TVs came out with the smooth motion, Pirates of the Caribbean was one of them that they chewed up and spit out, because when you're watching it on a tube TV and LEDs were LCDs were the new thing still, the pirates and everything didn't look as good because they were relying on the lower quality and the film and the motion blur and everything like that to make them look good, and then it gave them weird jagged edges with weird movement.
Yeah, you could clearly tell what was real and what was fake. And, I mean, part of that you can chalk up to they were kind of lazy with it. But part of it, it's, you know, when you just because you can make something faster doesn't mean you should.
Well, yeah. But then again, Marty McFly looks phenomenal on my 600 hertz plasma, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting at the fact that the fact that all the older film stuff looks so much better than most of the new age stuff that cost more money to produce, and they pump them out at an alarming rate.
It's because they shot it on actual film.
Yep. Yes, I know.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, they did not have 4K or the 3D Avatar cameras when they did Back to the Future. Come on.
No, they did have
this. Hey, speaking of HoloLens.
They had a time machine. They could have went and got it and given it back to Michael Bay.
Come back on. To the Future.
Or any of them.
Number,
what about Back to the Future?
Back to the Future 2?
Yes.
Where Marty McFly wears a HoloLens.
He does. Basically.
I mean, it's not called that, but...
Yeah. That's where they ripped it from.
All right, gentlemen.
That is funny. I didn't think about that when he's asking for the fruit tray. Retract, fruit. Retract.
Awesome.
I need to watch that movie again.
Yeah, definitely.
I still say that Jim's got to get a PS4, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah,
we need to podcast while we play that one night.
It'd be an explicit tag episode.
The amount of beeping through there, it would sound like a truck backing up the entire episode.
Yeah. All right, fellas, that's Change Log for this week. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye now.
We did it! Yay!